36 years before the Olympics in Munich, there were the Olympics in Berlin. The host of the Games was Adolf Hitler, and he used the event to promote the Nazi ideology. The propaganda that surrounded the 1936 Games is all the more haunting in retrospect. And so the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum is hosting an exhibition on the so-called Nazi Olympics. NPR's Howard Berkus paid a visit.
The sounds and voices in the Holocaust Museum's Olympics collection cut right to the heart. This is Nazi propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels in 1933.
One must govern well, and a good government needs good propaganda.
And this is Adolf Hitler a year later at a Nazi youth rally.
In our eyes, the ideal German boy should be slim and trim, quick as a greyhound, tough as leather, and as hard as Krupp steel.
That Aryan image and potential for propaganda were two of the reasons Hitler embraced the Games, says museum curator Susan Bachrach.
Berlin was awarded the Summer Games before Hitler took power. And even though it was a dictatorship, it was very important to build this popular support, especially among young people who had been so important to the growth of the Nazi movement. And, of course, sports was and the Olympics was a good way to do that.
Mass murder was years away, but mass mayhem already targeted political opponents, gypsies, and Jews. Brown-shirted Hitler Youth marched in the streets chanting, "Germans, defend yourselves, don't buy from the Jews." Jewish books were burned, intermarriage was banned, and Jewish athletes were purged. Margaret Lambert was known as Gretel Bergmann then. She was Germany's best high jumper, and she's among several athletes interviewed by the Holocaust Museum.
In the spring of 1933, I got a letter from my sports club. "You are no longer welcome here because you're Jewish. Heil Hitler." They just threw me out of the club, and that was the end of my sports career as far as that was concerned.
None of this was secret, notes exhibition curator Susan Bachrach.
We have a New York Times headline dated April 18th, 1933. This was a few months after Hitler took power. 1936 Olympics may be canceled due to Germany's campaign against the Jews.
Diplomats warned that the Games would give Hitler a propaganda boost, and rallies were held, including this one in New York featuring Major General John O'Ryan.
"Mr. Hitler's violation of these common rights in their application to Jewish citizens of Germany is a challenge to civilization."
Even some athletes and Olympic officials joined the call for a boycott. They cited Germany's purge of Jewish athletes a clear violation of Olympic rules. So the Nazis seemed to relent, inviting Jewish high jumper Gretel Bergmann to join the German team.
"The only reason I was supposed to be on that Olympic team was because the Americans and the English and the French and a lot of the other nations threatened not to come to the 1936 Olympics due to the discrimination of the Jews."
Nazi Olympic organizers invited Olympic officials for sanitized visits, where they witnessed no strife and were promised games open to all. Avery Brundage led the American Olympic Committee and the anti-boycott forces, and his carefully worded assessment prevailed.
"Participation in these games must not be construed to be an endorsement of the policies or practices of the Nazi government. Measures have been adopted to ensure that there will be no violation of the fundamental principles of fair play and good sportsmanship or of the Olympic standards of freedom and equality to all."
Up goes the official flag on the liner Manhattan, carrying 334 athletes.
Among those on the American ship to Berlin was African-American John Woodruff, the gold medal favorite in the 800-meter run, who was also interviewed by the Holocaust Museum.
"There was some talk about the Olympics being boycotted because of what Hitler was doing to the Jewish people in Germany. But it was never discussed amongst the team members. We weren't interested in the politics, you see, at all. We were only interested in going to Germany and winning."
Some American Jewish athletes were aboard the ship, but hurdler Milton Green was not. Rabbis convinced him and teammate Norman Connors to stay home.
They told us about the terrible things that were going on in Germany. And it was a shocker to me and Norman. And they tried to explain to us that we would never regret if we did take that action to boycott the Olympics.
The story gets a little more complicated when we start presenting the question of the boycott debate in the U.S. against the backdrop of what's happening in our very own country.
Blacks and Jews in the 1930s were banned from some athletic facilities and hotels. Racism and anti-Semitism were rampant. Competing and winning in Berlin would send messages to Nazis and Americans. So on August 1st, 1936, the Olympic flame arrived in a packed stadium in Berlin after the first modern torch relay ever. The relay was a product of the Nazi Olympics, which Hitler himself officially opened.
I declare the Berlin Games open, celebrating the 11th Olympiad of the modern era.
The Olympic five rings mixed with swastikas, Sieg Heil chants, and stiff-arm Nazi salutes. African-American Jesse Owens defied the Aryan ideal by winning four track and field gold medals. Runner John Woodruff also won gold.
There was very definitely a special feeling in winning the gold medal and being a black man. We destroyed his master race theory whenever we start winning those gold medals.
But there was disappointment for others. Gretel Bergmann was kicked off the German team, supposedly for poor performance.
The high jump in the Olympics was won with a height of 5'3", the height I had reached 4 weeks earlier. I would have been a loser either way, because had I won, that would have been such an insult against the German psyche. How can a Jew be good enough to win the Olympics that I would have had to be afraid for my life, I'm sure. And had I lost, I would have been made as a joke. See, we knew that you couldn't do this.
Off the field of play, signs banning Jews from public places had disappeared. Orders went out to be nice to everyone. African-American athletes told stories about warmth and hospitality. And in Germany, one said, he didn't have to sit in the back of the bus. At the time, the games weren't noted for Jesse Owens' victories and Hitler's defeat, says Susan Backrack of the Holocaust Museum. These observations were reported instead.
That the Nazis succeeded with their propaganda, that Hitler was really a big winner. Even a political reporter for the New York Times, Frederick Virchow, comes out after the games saying the games put Germans back in the fold of nations and even made them more human again.
At the closing ceremonies, the stadium went dark as the Olympic flame was extinguished. Hitler eventually retraced the route of the Olympic torch relay. He and his allies conquered every country along the way. And among the millions to die in the Holocaust were at least 11 athletes from the 1936 Olympics. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
You can view propaganda posters and video from the Nazi Olympics on our website. That's npr.org. Parting words tonight from the diary of Anne Frank, the girl who perished in the Holocaust, but whose words later inspired the world. She wrote, "It's really a wonder that I haven't dropped all my ideals because they seem so absurd and impossible to carry out. Yet I keep them because in spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart." Thank you. That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook. Have a good night.